The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's fantastic, fabulous, fortuitous, fortunate, full of fun Friday as we launch into the weekend with a rocket full of truth and love and with kingdom power. Let the countdown begin and let his kingdom come. First up, where do we fit in the body of Christ? Are we too afraid? Are we too good? Are we not good enough? How about none of the above? Next, can you see it? Can you catch the glimpse? It's the picture that we need to see in order to run with wisdom. And finally, after any great victory in the Lord, it's easy to slip into a oopsie. So when we win, let's keep the humble grin and not get spanked by the Lord.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Three good things. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can contact us two ways. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's one way. Plus, you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's another way. And we're going to remind you that you can do praise reports, prayer requests. You can do pop questions, which we may or may not be able to answer. Plus, we'll do trivia. We'll start off with a trivia question because we always like to do that. And then I'm going to tell you something that happened with the guy that I ran into. Remember I told you about that guy that I ran into at the gym and we had a conversation and he thanked me for not, berating him and so on. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a split second. All right, first here's the trivia question. What was the name of the angel that fought with the dragon in the book of Revelation? What was the name of the angel that fought with the dragon in the book of Revelation? If you know that answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. All right, before we do our Yiddish dictionary, let me give you an update on our friend Vernon. So Vernon was a gentleman that I ran into, didn't run into, but we kind of connected at the gym. And he asked some questions and talked about a couple of things, and we had a nice conversation, and I didn't berate him, beat him up or anything. He didn't have the same view I did, but he really had a right spirit about it, didn't fully understand all things, but was able to listen, and we engaged, and it was very polite. Well, guess what? I ran into him again today. Now watch this. Is this the kind of thing I'm talking about to you? So we talked for just a couple of minutes, just kind of like kibitzing, and then he said, hey, I got this thing going on. He's an older man, by the way, but in fantastic shape for an older guy. And he said, I got this thing going on. I got some blood coming out of certain places and certain things not supposed to be happening. I got, a little bit of surgery I have to go through and so on and so forth. So I said, well, how about this? Why don't I have me and the audience pray for you, and then perhaps the Lord will grant you this prayer request, and then we want you to know that if he does, it's going to come from him, that everything just be smooth and you be safe and so on and so forth. And he just looked at me, and he was like, yes, I would love that. And you say, here's a guy, not even sure what he believes in the faith, right? And we're going to pray for this guy. Now, is the Lord going to touch him and heal him? I hope so. But what he already knows is that there's enough concern for him that we'll take a moment and pray. Isn't that worthy and worth it? Isn't that the Christ-likeness that I think we're trying to get to? I mean, I know we're not doing it perfectly, but come on, that's the way to do it. So let's just pray for this guy real quick. We're going to lift him up. Father, we come before you right now, and we lift Vernon up to you right now, and I'm pretty confident he doesn't know you personally from our conversation. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I really pray that during this time that he's going through this medical procedure, that you would reach out to him with your love, with your grace, with your mercy, and that Vernon would be not only open to it, but receptive to it and hungry for it and looking for more of you. In the meantime, we ask you to touch and heal him in this process and take away that spirit of fear as long as he can find that comfort in you. We pray your grace in his life, your mercy in his life, and your gospel in his life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, so now we prayed for him, and remember what I told you. If you're going to pray, tell people you're going to pray for him. I did pray right after I walked away from him, but I also wanted to do it with everybody else. Okay, let's see. Where is my dictionary? Oh, I got it. All right, so we have the dictionary sound. Here we go, because we're going to do a Yiddish dictionary. Fire away, T.
Hava, nagila, hava, nagila, hava.
Excellent. Great job, T. That is great. Great work. That's exactly what I wanted. So you nailed it. See that? We do that, and we're not even able to touch each other or anything like that. It's right through a window. Good job. Terrific, T. Being terrific. All right. Here's your next word. Ready? You've heard this word, but you might not know really what it means, so I really want to give you a better understanding of it. It's called meshugana. 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 Okay? A lot of you have heard that before. Okay, meshugana. Meshugana can be used as an adjective to describe somebody as insane, okay, or a noun to refer to a crazy person. Thus, you get the impression this is not the nicest word. In a sentence, you might say something like, or see something like, he must be meshugana to think that he can get there in under an hour. So it might be like somebody thinking, okay, here I am in Dallas. I'm going to drive to Fate Friday at 3:30. He must be meshugana to think that he can get there in 20 minutes. He's like, yeah, no, you're nuts. So it is not a super mean word, but it is not a positive. So if somebody's really giving you a hard time and you want to be not insulting, but you want to get the dig in, but it ain't that bad of a dig, meshugana, that's good. Use that one.
Right. Meshugana.
Meshugana. Okay. Yeah. All right. So if Don is not nice to you, that at that moment he's being a little bit of a meshugana.
Okay. But I can't call him a meshugana.
That's right. You cannot call him because he probably knows what it means. He probably didn't want to do that. Okay, folks. Nothing but pure teaching here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk about this something that many people recognize, but I want to talk about this in regards to the body of Christ. I'm going to do verse 14 and 16, then verse 20 and 21. 14 and 16. In 1 Corinthians 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, and so is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we're all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. That's the first group. This is the group that think, I'm not good enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not smart. I can't get on behind a pulpit. I can't counsel people. I can't say the right words all the time. I'm just not good enough. Contrary to that willingness to be humble but taking it too far so that the devil can use it against you is the idea in Scripture that nobody, listen to what I'm saying, nobody is useless in the body, period. There is not one of you, not no matter what your condition. Now let me phrase this in a way that you'll appreciate this. If you are in the throes of going from this kingdom to the next, but you still have the capacity to offer a prayer inside of you, you are useful for the kingdom of God and everything the other direction. You get what I'm saying? So there's a group of people in the church that think, I'm just not good enough. Wrong. And the devil will use that against you and tell you you're not good enough, and that's bad. In opposition to that group, Paul identifies another group, verse 20 through 21. Now, there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So there's two groups of people that Paul identifies in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first group think that they're worthless and they can't do anything. The other group think they're so superior that nobody can get along without them. These are the two opposites. Let me say this to those who are feeling less than. You're not less than. Let me say this to those that are feeling better than. God could use a donkey to rebuke a prophet. Don't get too arrogant. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And no, you're not doing God a favor when you go to church. No, you're not doing God a favor when you preach, teach, minister, counsel. You're not doing God any favors. You're lucky he lets you breathe. Let's just leave it there. The reason that I want to bring that up is because this kind of passage is what we would call an inclusionary passage. It means that there's no escaping no matter how far left or how far right you go. Doesn't matter. Do you understand that? It doesn't matter if you think you're far superior or far inferior. Both of those are wrong. And oftentimes, going too far to the left or the right is an indication of something more sinister behind it. And you think, well, how would you even say something like that? Isn't it amazing? I'll just drop this little nugget for you. Isn't it amazing that when the Father had the Son who had the Spirit, he said to Jesus, he often throws himself into the fire or into the water, complete opposites in extremes. And Jesus goes, oh, it's a spirit. Just like, see, that's a good one, huh? Like that? Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, the angel that fought with the dragon in the book of Revelation, the angel's name was Michael. Here's something you should appreciate about this passage. God didn't even throw Satan out of heaven. He just had Michael do it. Just throw that guy out there. Okay, thanks. That's how powerful God is. That helps you, okay? All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry. Okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real. You know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, this is how the Lord hurts for you. And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my
pride attitude and my over-arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy, showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You know you can reach us, 214-210-8483. That is the way to get in touch with us. By text. Also, if you want to call us, 972-445-0770. Got another trivia question. This is not difficult. You guys should know this one, so I'm kind of letting you off the hook a little bit. Here you go. King Herod killed all the babies in Bethlehem who were what age and younger? What age and younger? Okay? All right. That's the trivia question. All right, let's cover a couple things. We have a new, maybe a new and improved set we don't know yet on HeMustIncrease.org. Website, HeMustIncrease.org, HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. That, see how that slowed down and then you can hear it and it's real clearly? That's great job. I will tell everybody, and I need to tell you this in regards to the giving process. So we're at, I think we're at July 24th. So we got seven days left in July, and we're a little behind, but not terrible. I mean, we're just kind of like that same place. It's like the same place we get to every time. You get to the last week, and then you go, oh, Lord, we only need, you know, 1,400 or we only need, you know, 1,500, whatever it is. And it's like we're in that same spot. So we're there. So if the Lord blesses you with anything and you can use it and want to use it to help us out, great. And if you want to, and if you haven't given it to your church, you ought to give it to your church first. And then all the ministries that are key. This ministry comes into place where it's a blessing, where it's helpful for you. That's how I do it now. So I get a lot out of the church we go to at Stillwater Community Church. I give a lot there. And then we give to different ministries as they are connect with us. And then if the Lord brings something in outside of that, then we ask him for help so we can participate in that as well. Okay, got that. You got that. Today, by the way, for those that don't know, I gotta find out where my piece of paper is. Today is, what is today? July 24th. So let me tell you what a couple things are today. Now, on July 24th, did you have anything that was unique for Friday? Because it is a Friday. Do you have something that you wanted to
play? Thank God it's Friday.
Play that again.
Thank God it's Friday.
Okay. T has lost it. There it is. Play it one more time.
Thank God it's Friday.
Oh, my God.
You can't tell me that doesn't sound like you.
That is hilarious. All right. I'm not even gonna comment to that. All right. Trivia question on the board. How old were the children? King Herod had the babies in Bethlehem killed. From what age down? If you know the answer, text it or call it in. Let me tell you about this today. For those that do not know, today is Tell an Old Joke Day. Tell an Old Joke Day. Do you know how much trouble you're in now, T? This is as old as when the Dead Sea was still sick. Okay. All right. Here we go. Okay. Come on. All right. Here we go. Here's this joke. Ready? Old joke. Ready? All right. Every 10 years, the monks in the monastery are allowed to break their vow of silence and speak two words. 10 years go by, and it's one monk's first chance, and he thinks for a second before saying, "Food, bad." 10 years later, he says, "Bed, hard." It's a big day. A decade later, he gives the head monk a long stare, and he says, "I quit." And the head monk says, "I'm not surprised." He says, "You've been complaining ever since you got here." Okay. That's not bad. All right. It's an old joke. Today is...
"You've been complaining ever since..."
I blew the line, but it was still there. The joke was still there. It got through me. Okay. You want to tell you this, the waiter and the soup. You ever heard the soup joke? Why I keep going aha? You have no idea why I do that, do you?
Mm-mm.
All right, so this guy, he orders soups. This guy orders soup, and he goes, "I want the soup." And so he waits a few minutes, gets the soup. Then he goes to the waiter, and he goes, waiter, taste the soup. And he goes, "Is it too hot?" And the guy goes, waiter, taste the soup. And he goes, "Is it too cold?" He goes, waiter, taste the soup. He goes, "Is there something in the soup, sir?" I was like, wait, taste the soup. He goes, "Is there something going on I need to know?" He goes, wait, taste the soup. And he goes, "All right, fine. Where's the spoon?" He goes, "Aha!" He didn't have a spoon. See, that's a good joke. Don't say that's not a good joke.
Okay, that was good.
All right. That's Eddie Murphy does that at the end of the movie about Coming to America. It's a very fun. Today's National Drive-Thru Day. I like fast food. I've been trying to stay away from it lately, but I still like it, and I don't have anything against it. And when I'm not dieting, I'm going through it, so okay. It's also National Lumberjack Day. I have no idea what to do with that. You know, I can only think of Monty Python's Lumberjack song. I'm a lumberjack, and I'm okay. I sleep all night and I work all day. 1567, King James VI became the king of Scotland at age 1. Does everybody else see what's wrong with that? He was 1. Last thing I'll tell you, Martin and Lewis, Dean Martin performed their very last performance on this day in 1956 at the Copacabana in New York, together for the last time as a team. Martin and Lewis. There you go. All right, let's get into our teaching. You're like, what do you need more time? Yes. I need more time. Yes. Exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim." As not without aim. Run in such a way as not without aim. What that really means in breaking that down in ways that we can get it is we're supposed to run this race, walk this race, depending on whether you're running at that point or walking at that point or crawling at that point. But whatever you're doing, you're supposed to do it with purpose. Okay? You go to work and you put the hours in, and you might love your job or you might not love your job, but you put the hours in, and you have purpose behind what you're doing. Perhaps it is a stepping stone to get you somewhere else. Perhaps you have reached the zenith of what you're trying to get to, but you have a purpose behind it. You have a purpose behind how you want to begin, go through the middle, and exit this life. There is purpose. And let's just acknowledge that Proverbs 29:18, talking about where there's no vision, the people perish. In the other translations, when the people, if the people have no vision, they cast off restraint. There is a recklessness that takes over the Christian's life when you don't walk or run with purpose. You can't wake up and go, "I have nothing. I got nothing to do. There's nothing to even think about. I'm just in a nothing ball. I'm doing nothing. I'm saying nothing. I am nothing. That's a purposelessness. That's where the beginning of Ecclesiastes starts off, where you get to see Solomon having just a minor breakdown in Scripture, going, it's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. It's all futile. It's all futile. Having a tough time. Now, he comes to the right conclusions by in the beginning, middle, and the end of the book. But there are times where you are walking about and there's a fruitlessness to all that you're doing is what you think. And the reason that happens is because we lose sight of a vision. We lose sight of our purpose. We run without aim. There's no goal. And so even when you get up, a good example might be working out. There's a goal. Dieting. There's a goal. Studying. There's a goal. You might even have a goal of relaxing. That's fine, as long as it's not 24/7 and you're turning into a blob figure, becoming one with your couch or your chair. The idea is that you have a purpose. God didn't create you so that you can exist for nothing. At a minimum. Watch what I'm going to say. It's going to blow your mind. At a minimum, on an everyday basis, we should be seeking first the kingdom of God. At a minimum. And you think, well, how could that be a minimum? That seems like it would be a maximum. Look, I'll tell you what. I'll even help you out in this. I'm serious. Ready? Every day, seek the kingdom of God. And if you overcome and find everything you ever need to find in that, come find me, tell me, and I'll give you something else to do. How's that? So there it is. There it is. An everyday purpose for every person. Seek first the kingdom of God. And if you fulfill it to its maximus, you come to me, you tell me, and I will be glad to give you another thing to work on. How about that? Because if you live your Christian walk and you have no purpose, no aim, if you don't even have in there, get closer to the Lord, be a more reflective light of Jesus, love people better, love God better, do better in the kingdom of God, answer in making decisions that advance the kingdom and in making decisions that don't advance the kingdom of darkness. If you don't have anything going on, then you're walking and living and running and driving and existing for no purpose. And that's no good. That is not a good way to exist. Okay? All right. Okay, King Herod killed all the baby boys in Bethlehem who were 2 years old, two years old and younger, based on the time he found out from the Magi in regards to when they saw the star, which is a very big change if you get into the Christmas story. We'll cover that some other time. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
The David Spoon Experience.
again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three time, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, if you want to get some of our music, livinginhisgrip.com is the website. Now, you know what's so funny about that clip being played? So here's the deal. I went through a library of clips, and you have to understand, I have 2,500 hours of shows, okay? And that's only the ones that we caught. Okay, and then there's another 4,000 in sermons outside of this. So it's like a lot of material. But somebody just asked, and this is why I think it's funny, or maybe the Lord kind of thing. So I'm going to let the audience kind of help me on this because I need prayer in this. I had somebody yesterday mention, hey, Dave, it would be really cool because of some of the stuff you know, if you would do a political show outside of the show that you do to encourage Christians, because people don't really understand what the Bible says about most of these key issues. Most of the time, it's political positions. So you got Democratic, and then you got Republican, and you got independents, and you got this, and you got this. And you got this. But it's very few times somebody goes, crack, here's what it says in Nehemiah. Here's what it says in Ezra. Here's what it says in Deuteronomy. Here's what it says in Matthew. It just doesn't happen a ton on these political shows. And so I was like, because there's a lot of darkness in that realm, and it's not that I couldn't do it, but I guess I'm concerned or jealous for this show that I like kind of the fun that we have in the purity. So I would like some prayer. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, T? Like, you get down that road, and once you get down that road, it's kind of a – there. It's like the yellow brick road.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you go into the,
right.
It's like, I don't know. And there's a part of me that thinks, and some people are like, hey, we'll produce it and we'll have this person, da da da. And I'm just like, But the other part of me thinks, I love Jesus. I just want that. That should be the bigger shine. Because not to be offensive, but if I was in another country and not in America, we'd have the free speech. The gospel was presented to me. I would have believed it and still be a reciprocator of it. I just assume that. But my point in that is, you know, we do have a lot of freedoms here in this country. I don't know if we should use all those freedoms. That's kind of what I'm talking about. So you guys can pray for me. There's a lot of when in doubt, don't. And then there's a lot of this and this and. Just pray for me. I love the show that we do. I love to be able to talk and talk about scriptural elements and application. Because all these applications you hear me talk about, I'm not using these perfectly. I'm trying to use these with you. Because it's like, this is a walk, man. We're trying to, or it's a race, or it's a this. It's a journey. And we're trying to do this with the Lord, right? At least I think that's the goal here. All right.
Amen.
That's pretty good right there. Look at you go. You are just like in shine mode. Put a little spotlight on you. Okay. Next trivia question, ladies and germs, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes. That's a very old intro for those that don't know it. What is the name of the priest that Abram met in the Valley of Sheva? He met a very important priest. He had a very specific name. You probably couldn't spell it on your life. What was the name of that priest? Only hint, there's a reference in Hebrews. Oh, somebody calling in on it. Or calling in on what I was talking about. One of the two. So let's see what they come up with. And, I appreciate you guys praying for me. I do. Okay. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Ace.
Hey,
how
you?
Brother.
Doing, brother. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate the help. I'm doing great. Because of your prayers, I'm doing great.
Well, we will never stop praying for you. Between now and the time the Lord calls us home, no matter what the show does or doesn't do, we will always pray for you.
Hallelujah.
All right. Hallelujah. All right, my friend. So Abraham, before he became Abraham, technically, Abram was in the Valley of Sheva. Do you remember which priest he ran into? Big name, long, really tough to spell.
This might be wrong. I thought it was Melchizedek.
That is correct, sir! That is correct! Melchizedek, that's exactly right. So we used to make a joke in Bible college, spell that with one eye. Anyway, the idea, you'd have to close one eye and spell it. That was the whole idea. So that's exactly right. He met him back, blessed him from the booty that he received from the great gain that he gained out of that encounter. And that was a type of Christ. Isn't that a kind of a cool little look at, here's a little pre-picture for you people to understand what's going to be happening. Very cool. All right, my brother. Okay, I think we just lost him. God bless you.
You too. I appreciate you, David Spoon,
right,
and your ministries. Thank you.
Thank you, bye-bye, sir. I appreciate it. All right, good job. All right. Ace, driving it home. Good job there. Okay, so let's get into. We didn't even do our stuff, did we? Yeah, let's skip it. Yeah, skip it. Yeah, I just got to get to this. This is actually has a title to it, but we don't really give our titles for our DDDs, Devotional Diamonds of the Day. That's what all these little vignettes are. That's what all these small mixed sermons are. This one I typically called Peter Popped. It's just Matthew 16, 21 through 23. This is right after Peter gave that fantastic confession. Who do you say I am? He goes, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I mean, talk about the best line ever, right? Great line, right? After the greatest confession. Matthew 16, 21 through 23. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Wow. Peter went from the throne room to the outhouse in about three verses. It's just like, do-do-do-do-do. It's just like, do-do-do. Here's this guy that gives the greatest confession in Scripture. Thou art the Christ. I mean, I like using the King James level. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, good job. And as soon as Peter heard that, this is what happened to his head. Like a balloon, it just puffed up. And so Jesus begins to tell him, hey, the Son of Man's going to have to go here and die, and this is going to happen. And Peter pulls him aside and says, no, you don't, Jesus. It's just like, dude, you got one question right. You are not now in a position to teach the Messiah. And that happens to you and I maybe more than we would like to admit. It happens to me if I have a good show, if I have a good showing at the test at school, if something happened, then little puffy, little puffy, little puffy, little puffy. And look at what Jesus says. So
irritating because it's so true.
Some people think that Peter was trying to protect Jesus. I'm not sure that's incorrect, but I think he was much more correcting than protecting. But Jesus made it clear, setting our minds on the interests of mankind or on the interests of God are not the same. And when you set your interests on mankind instead of God, watch this, you bought into the dark side. So everybody that goes around preaching a social gospel where it's all about everybody having some kind of equal share has no idea what the gospel is. The gospel is about restoring the eternal relationship that man was supposed to have with God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and having that walk draw you closer and closer to the Lord by the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from that, the social stuff that we do is great, but it doesn't send you to heaven. And when Peter tried to be protective, what he had lost sight of was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And Jesus rebuked him for it. And you think, that's kind of harsh, right? Because, you know, he's just, you know, trying to protect Jesus. And, he, you know, even so, that's kind of harsh. And here's the response to that. There is nothing more important than the redeeming work of Jesus Christ for you and I, period. You can feed a poor person 1,000 times, but if they don't know Jesus Christ, they will still go to hell. You can feed a rich person 1,000 times, and if they don't know Jesus Christ, they will still go to hell. And then just insert everybody else in between those two. The lowest, the highest, the middle, the left, the right, the conservative, the liberal, doesn't matter. If you don't acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, who died on the cross and was buried and 3 days later rose again, which is the gospel, if you don't acknowledge God's testimony in regards to redemption from sin, you're in trouble. Period. There is no. We seek his kingdom first, and the proclamation of the gospel and making people in a right relationship with God is the greatest single benefit for all mankind. And there is nothing. Yeah. Well, we can do. No. It is that. And then everything else.
Boy, Dave, you're mean.
Sometimes. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
What is the David Spoon experience?
It's because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Are you driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. It slices, it dices, it cleans up dirty spots, lickety-split, and makes julienne fries. And right now, for a tremendous discount, you can have a Commercial Whammy too. All you need to do is call KAAM or send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, and bam! You have your own Commercial Whammy before you know it. Call now and you can get a second Commercial Whammy for half the price. That's right. Call now for your very own Commercial Whammy. 972-445-1700 or email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Don't delay. Call today. Operators are standing by.
Welcome back. Yeah. To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Let's get our last trivia question in. This is kind of an interesting one. Many of you should know this. For those that you normally text in or whatever the case may be, don't hesitate. And even if you're wrong, like when you just know, you guys know, I'm not try and walk people to it. The goal is to get there, not to not get there. Okay, what did the angels do? Get ready, because this is offend some people. Too bad. What did the angels do to the homosexual men of Sodom in order to protect Lot? That's the dude. So what did they do? The angels. They did something. What did they do? Wow. It's like, Dave, where are you coming from? It's like, well, I didn't write the book. See Dick Run. This is my new. I should just have a book called See Dick Run. And then just. Although I think that title's taken. You can reach out to us 214-210-8483. You can also call 972-445-0770. Website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook. He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. There you go. And see how much better? That's so much better, so much smoother. I like it. Good job. Also, before we go into our very last thing, I just want to be thankful that it is this particular day.
Thank God it's Friday.
I want you to know that T thinks I sound like that. She told me that. She thinks I sound like that. I think that's too high for me, but I don't know, maybe. Thank God it's Friday. How's that?
It sounds just like it.
That's amazing. All right. Ray, my good friend Ray Bentley, he's a great pastor of Maranatha Chapel in Escondido, California. Escondido's okay, but Ray is great. I worked in Escondido for years. I get to say stuff like that. Anyway, he had this one particular devotion. As you know, I'm a big fan of his, and I have another book. So there's two books I'm likely recommend. I hardly ever recommend books unless I'm interviewing an author. There's one of them that I'm reading from my PhD that the professor wrote. It's a devotional on Genesis. It's fantastic. Even my wife is reading it with me. So that kind of tells you how good that stuff is. But here is something that he taught on, and I just want to offer this as a great way to go into the weekend. He titled this, How to Alter the Atmosphere, which is like, oh, cool. Very cool. Come, let us bow down in worship, and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 95, verse 6. Do we know what worship means and does? Do we know the power of worship to change our surroundings? Singing in church, raising your hands, and feeling moved emotionally by the beauty of the music is just the beginning. Sometimes we worship because we're in church and it's what you do. Maybe we worship out of habit, and that is a worthwhile habit unless that is all it is. Worship is more than a weekend activity. Worshiping the Almighty affects the atmosphere, excellent point, and dramatically changes the environment in which we live. We worship through expression of praise and with our actions. When we do, worship shifts the atmosphere and releases the manifest presence of God. Now, let me stop right there. So he didn't take the time to tell you, and I'm going to, that there is the universal presence of God, and that's how he is everywhere. And then there is the manifested presence of God, and that's when you know he's in the room. Okay, see that difference? So God is everywhere. That's his universal presence. And then he manifests that presence or cracks open the dimensional barrier so you know he's there. Okay? All right. Going back to what he said, when we do worship, shifts the atmosphere and releases the manifest presence of God. Remember, we are engaged in real daily spiritual warfare, and there are harmful demonic strongholds against our lives. Hurts, addictions, anxieties, fears, marriage problems, family issues, everything the enemy uses to prevent you from walking in faith, to stop you from receiving the inheritance God has for you as his son or daughter. When you accept the devil's lies, you enter into an agreement with him that you are not worthy of God's love, forgiveness, or blessings. Ooh, that is so good. Listen to that line. When you accept the devil's lies, you enter into an agreement with him that you are not worthy of God's love, forgiveness, or blessings. Now, why does God allow this? Because he wants us to mature. He does it so that we will get stronger. How does a muscle get stronger? Resistance. God wants us to be able to stand against all the enemy's attacks and walk with confidence in healing and in faith. But a big part of this plan is resistance. All right, so how does that happen? How does this work? You begin with worship. Take God's hand and let him lead you deeper into faith and understanding that you can be free from strongholds that hold you back. Call upon him and worship him for he is, for who he is and how much he loves you. Worship is an expression of faith. Obedience exercises our faith. It shows our faith. By worship, we alter the atmosphere. We come into an agreement with what God has declared and change the darkness, oppression, and battle fatigue into victory and triumph. What an excellent devotion, okay? Now, just to scare you a little bit, next week I'm going to read one of the devotions that I've written, and it's going to be scary because it's not as good as his. that's why he has a book. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to do that same kind of thing. Here's the bottom line to what he's saying, though, and here's the main principle. Sometimes the best way to grow stronger is to allow the resistance to take place so that you can be strengthened in the process. And I'm telling you this so that you can understand that the reason that the enemy gets to have the room that he gets to have is not because the enemy is stronger or wiser, but simply because God doesn't waste anything and he's using the enemy for his own purposes, God's own purposes, which is to make us reflect Jesus more and more. And what's awesome about the Lord is that in your worship process, in your, you know, kind to dive into the kingdom, dive into his presence, dive into a relationship with him, the atmosphere around you from being worldly or even satanic loses all its power. When we worship God corporately, all we're doing is tapping, and there's no metaphysicals, we're just tapping into what's going on in heaven, where they're constantly worshiping God. And that's what makes that difference in your church. And maybe you like the style where it's more hymn-oriented, or maybe you like more of the expressionary worship. Maybe you like more face-to-face or high praise. I don't know. I don't care. That doesn't matter. Everybody's wired different. Nobody cares. Here's what matters, that we're connecting with what's going on in heaven. And by connecting, we're certainly doing a better job of changing the atmosphere. So to worship the Lord in your words, in your actions, in your life changes the yuck. Now you have this whole weekend ahead of you. You've got, you know, things to do Saturday afternoon, things to do on Sunday. If it becomes a bog down, stop and worship the Lord and watch the atmosphere change. One of the most wonderful passages has to do with Isaiah. It's put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So many people, so bogged down, so much weight. Even if you've just done one thing wrong, it's like the devil takes a whole ton of bricks, puts them in a bag, and tosses it on your head. If you put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, you get to roll off that pile of bricks and just laugh at it. Because let me ask you this question. You just answer this going into the weekend. If God is for you, then who cares about anything else? It's like, who cares? If God is for you, who can be against you? He loves you. You're his passion. You're his child. You're his delight. There's nothing that the world or Satan can do that's going to change that. We just need to believe that. We need to receive that. We need to walk in that, right? That's the coolest stuff. And when we're in heaven, oh, it's just going to be so awesome. That's our goal. That's our vision. And you're useful now in the church. You're useful now to help people. You're useful now in these kind of things. And if you get something right, don't get a big head like Peter. Don't get a big head. Just, you know, smile with a humble grin. Just begin with a humble grin. But the Lord, he loves you. He's for you. He's on your side. So take a deep breath. Face whatever you got to face and do it holding God's hand. The answer to the trivia question, by the way, the angels struck them with blindness. Don't mess around with God. It's a bad idea. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 71-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spinanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.